what is today? Today's September 6th. We're still in our series, Made in the Image. This is Made in the Image, Part 3. And today we're going to look at, and I like how it fell on Labor Day. Today we're going to look at how God has sanctified work. It was really cool. I mean, we all know that God orders steps, right? And God organizes things. And so today, down in the branch, the lesson is surrounded around the theme of ants. And ants are workers. And so the theme of the ant is work. And you say, oh, well, of course they're going to do that on Labor Day weekend. But actually, this is a curriculum that didn't go with that. And so it's real cool to just see God's fingerprint on that. But anyway, Made in the Image, we've been looking at the uniqueness of how we as creation, out of all of God's creation, was made in the image of God, and what characteristics and what traits that carries. And so we've been looking at how we all have such an intrinsic value simply because we're imagers. We're imagers of God. And so we looked at that application in different areas of life and worldview and ideology. And so today we're going to look at this aspect of work. Work. And so we're going to read the scripture that we've been using as the foundation, which is Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 through 31. Genesis 1, 24. Don't I have it? Okay. So this is the account of where God is creating every day. And he's now coming to the sixth day where he makes man uniquely in his image. And so God says, let the earth bring forth living creatures after its kind, cattle, creeping thing, and beast of the earth, and after his kind, it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after its kind, and cattle after its kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Everybody say good. So all the way in the beginning, God delineates between something called good and something that's called evil. They say that darkness is the absence of light. That darkness isn't created per se, but it is the absence of light. And so evil would be similarly true, where it is the absence of good. And so God said that it was good. And so God said, let us make man, on verse 26, let us make man in our image, and after our likeness, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the earth, of the air, and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27. And so God created man in his own image. In the image God created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. And so it's God's command that we're fruitful. Obviously, in this area, he's not just talking about the fruit of Eve's womb, that they would have kids and they would multiply, and that each of us are actually results of that. I mean, that's amazing that we can all go back to that common ancestor. And actually, after the flood, you're either a Shemite, you're a son or a daughter of Shem, or a Japhethite, or a Hamite. I think I'm a Hamite. I like bacon. I like bacon a lot. But he said, be fruitful and multiply. This idea of God creates things sort of in a state where they can be improved on. This kind of revolutionized my understanding of not only work, but creativity and this idea of cooperating with God, that God wants us to cooperate with him. And in so doing, he creates things in kind of a raw material form, not in a complete, exhausted form, but in a raw material form so that we can take them and actually make them better. And so he says, be fruitful, multiply. In other words, take what I gave you and make it more, make it better. And replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. See, why didn't God just do that? Why didn't God just put things in place and say, okay, everything's done, everything's perfect? Because he wanted us to partner with him in this wonderful kingdom of increase and multiplication and making things better. And over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Verse 29, and God said, behold, I've given to you every herb-bearing seed. Why didn't God just make trees that would just bear fruit all the time? Like in their mature state, right? Poof, cherry tree. And then every time you picked one, another one just go pop. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, or like a cheesesteak hoagie tree. That would be like awesome. Right? Just like, oh. Or a jerky tree. I mean, wouldn't that have been great? But he didn't. What did he do? He created a seed. Why? So that we would have to partner with creation and that we would plant it and we would tend it and we would fertilize it. And we would husband it and husband a vine and we would create, help co-create with God. Not that we can create anything, but we take what God has created and we can make it better. And so this is part of the image that is inside you. Every day you have an opportunity to make things better. And so he gave us every seed that's upon the earth, every tree in which the fruit of the tree yields seed that you might share it for meat. Verse 30. Or is that it? Yeah, 30. And to every beast of the earth, every fowl of the air, and everything that creeps upon the earth, there is life. And I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And so God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Notice it doesn't say it was perfect. It was done. It was complete. It was good, and we're going to see why it was good shortly. And that was the evening and the morning of the sixth day. The word's already been prayed for by our priestess, Tracy, so thank you. Priestesses, we're all priests. You know, after I said that, I thought, oh. People are going to think she's into some witchcraft or something. We're all priests and priestesses. All right. So, purpose for work. Why do you, when you think of work, yeah, it's Sunday, you're probably thinking, great, like this is my day off. Why are you even taking me there? Work. You know, I don't want to think about work. Well, hopefully today our understanding of work will be expanded a little more. I know that we think of work as what we call the 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, or whatever your schedule falls in. But work in the scriptures is much broader than that. And it's something that's actually enjoyed and celebrated. But there are different reasons why we work. What is the reason why you work? Is it to survive? That's one motivation. We eat so we can eat, so that we can have shelter over our heads, so that we can pay our bills. I work to survive. Another reason why we work is consumerism, or to consume. We want to get stuff that we desire. There's something that you want, there's something that you desire, and so you work so that you can get that. Another reason why or purpose we work is for self-esteem. You get a sense of accomplishment when you work and you see something that you started and something you finished. Another reason we work is for improvement, because we can take something and you can look at it and you can make it better. But ultimately, I think the main purpose of work is to glorify our Creator, because this is part of the image. This is part of what God has given you, that when you see something, there's something inside you that begins to just germinate, and you see it and you can think of ideas and get creative and inspirational on how you might change it to make what you would consider better. And so it's interesting that in the scriptures, who would be the first worker? Who would be the first example in the Bible of someone that works? It would be God, right? So it says that in the beginning, God what? Created the heavens and the earth. And then we start to see him strategically creating. He doesn't just go, and everything's done. We see him separating things. And there's a reason why he's separating things. What does he separate? He separates light from darkness. And he calls the light what? Day. And he calls the darkness night. Why does God separate the light from the darkness? There was a reason. He had a purpose. And you'll notice that everything that God does on that day of creation is ultimately for his prize creation, and that's you. Because man, we don't live in darkness, we live in light. We want to be able to see, we function at a higher level when we're in light, when we're in truth, when we're in things that we can see. And so God separated the darkness from the light. And then it says he separated the heavens from the earth. He put a distinction between the firmament, between heaven and earth. Why did he do that? For you. Because you don't live in heaven. Where do you live? You live on earth. And so God is creating and making this earth for you and for me so that we can be prosperous and so that we can live to this fullest intent that he desired. And so he separates the heavens and the earth. And then it says he separated the earth again. And what did he separate? He separated the waters from the earth. Why? Because you don't live in water. You're not a fish. You live on earth. And so God separated the land from the waters to make a place for you. And then he even separated it again. And it says, in God planted a garden in Eden. Why did God plant a garden? For you. He planted a garden for mankind. Why? Because man's going to have to eat. Man's going to have to survive. And so he keeps separating and organizing and strategically creating things to make things good. That's why they're good. In Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was what? The earth was without form and void. The earth was without form and void. Now I'm going to give you your Hebrew lesson for the day. That term, without form and void, is tovu vavohu. Tovu vavohu. Can you say that? Tovu vavohu. Without form and void. It's interesting, when that phrase is used in other portions of scripture, it describes wilderness and deserts. In other words, places that aren't conducive to life. There's a place out in the West called Death Valley. It's not conducive to life. It's tovu vavohu. It's without form. It's void of that which is able to give you life. And so wilderness in the scriptures. Do you ever wonder why Cain was so upset with the judgment that God gave him, that he sends him out into the wilderness? It's a place of, that's hostile toward life. It's not a garden. And what do you think of it when you think of a garden, right? God plants this garden east in Eden, and what is a garden? He's strategically planting trees. He's strategically planting vines. He's strategically placing herbs and plants. So strategic that in the middle of the garden, right? And so God has this plan that he's working. God is the first worker in the scriptures. And what is he doing it for? He's doing it for you and me. So tohu vavohu might be good for some creation, right? A wilderness or a desert. There's life that can live in that. It might be good for worms or a snake or a leech or a slug. It might be good for spiders or reptiles, maybe. But is it a good place for you and for me? A wilderness? A void place? No. And so God works to create this place for me and you. He works toward the end of making it a place that we can flourish in. And so he orders it and he fills it and he separates and he brings things in for us. And so as I said, God takes raw materials and he makes them better. And God purposely creates things in base form so that we can modify them and make them better. That's what work is. That's how God has sanctified work. I want to say that again because it doesn't matter what you apply that to, that glorifies God. Is that when you take something that God created in its base form and you modify it to make it better. I remember sharing this in a message that I entitled, The Work of Our Hands. And I can't remember where I heard this. I didn't come up with this, but someone else said that God gives us wheat and we take it and we process it and we make bread. That is the work of your hands. That's you modifying it. Loaves of bread just don't show up in your oven. You're the one who has to take that and modify God's creation and you turn it into something better, right? I don't think I've ever seen anyone just, well, it's in the scriptures, right? Where the disciples were going through the field and they were just popping kernels of, I've never done that. Have you? Anyone ever taste raw wheat? Probably Diane and Christy. Have you? No. Anyway, I can't imagine that tastes anything like a warm loaf of fresh bread that comes out of the oven. You put butter on it. Oh, right? We made it better. And then God gives olive trees, and then you take the olives, and what can you make from olives? You can make oil. And we love oil, olive oil. And then God gives grapes, and what do we make out of grapes? Raisins. Raisins. That's an inside joke for the Small family and Jackie and Eileen. We went to a comedian this past Friday. He was talking about raisins. Anyway, and so God gives us grapes, and what do we make? Wine. Is wine better than grapes? It depends on who you are, I guess. Jesus at a wedding thought so when he turned water into wine. But do you see the principle there? Is that God gives us raw materials in creation, and then we can take it and we can make it better. And I'm telling you, as I began to understand this reality and this truth, all of a sudden my eyes started to open up on this incredible privilege I have to co-labor with God in his kingdom. Because I always had this sense that everything God did, he did in its perfection. Right? That he did it, and it's just, I can worship him and I can glorify him. It's beautiful. But when I began to understand that God purposely limited himself in creating things so that I could join him and fashion them differently and make them new in such a way that it would glorify him, I started to see it almost in every area of my life. And so anytime you do the same thing, you're glorifying God by expressing his image. I can make sounds like Noah. Noah can make sounds. That's how he laughs now. like Roz on Monsters, Inc. Cody says that. That's the sound he can make. But that's it. He can't go, thank you, mommy. He can't do that yet. But he can make sounds. Can you make sounds? As a matter of fact, the scriptures teach us that when we can't even pray, the Spirit will intercede with what? Groanings. All we can do is sometimes go, and that's okay. But we're not meant to just communicate with groans, even though men have perfected that. Micah was a little upset yesterday because he didn't get his nap. And I was asking him which Blippi episode he wanted on. He was laying on my chest and he was tired from the day. It was about 5 o'clock, no nap. So he's always refreshing at that time of the day when he doesn't have a nap. And I said, which one do you want to watch? And he was saying something I couldn't understand. He's like, Blippi, I'm thinking. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't understand you. You want Blippi into thinking? No, not thinking, thinking. And I said, JJ, what is he saying? He says, say it again, bud. He's like, thinking. JJ didn't know what, so we called in the professional, Cody, knowing she would know exactly what he was saying. And he said, thinking. She didn't know what he was saying. And so I said, all right, let's do it this way. And so we went through, we have Blippi on the screen and YouTube. And so you can just, for those of you who are on YouTube, you can just go left or right, right? Left. Here's the, yeah, here's the sound he was making to let me know he was communicating that that was not the proper Blippi episode. No. That was short. That was short for no. He couldn't even give me the benefit of an extra breath. Like no. It was nit. And that's if you want to see that like at its highest collegiate level, come to men's retreat. You'll see guys doing that across the table. We just communicate in noises. Anyway, so in the most primitive form, we can make noises. But what do we do when we begin to take what God has given us, these incredible, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, these vocal cords that God has given us. And we can take sounds, and what do we form them into? Words. We form them into words. And then we take those words and we make them into sentences. And then we can take those sentences and we can communicate. We can talk about the incredible wonders of God, right? But then you can even take it to a higher level. And that's where people take words, and some of you are so gifted in this, into sentences. And those sentences can be orchestrated into a song or a poem that express a deep desire of the heart that can just permeate the soul of another human being and bring them to a higher level of appreciation for some subject. I can get on this piano right now. I can do it. And I can flip that thing on and I can make sounds for you. I can even tell you what note they are. And I could sit there and I could go, this is a C. And I couldn't give you the note, so I'm not going to try. But I would hit that and I could give you a note. I could make a sound. But somebody else can sit down on that piano and they can take different notes and they can put them together and they can make an incredible melody. They can make a song, or even Bach or Beethoven and all these guys. They can take them and just lift you into a higher place because they're taking what God has given and they're just improving on it. And then what about just what you witnessed today? You have Ray on his guitar taking that creation and making it do something better with Tim on his bass, playing his, with JJ on his drums, with Tracy with her vocal cords, and with Diane and Beth and Eileen with their vocal cords, and they're all doing it together to make a sound that is pleasing to God. That is what the Bible is talking about with work. Anything you take that makes it better so that mankind can enjoy or flourish in a greater way is work. That's why the scriptures talk about whatever your hand finds to do, do it as unto the Lord, or do it with all your might. Anybody can have flour and sugar and salt in their pantry, but when you can take it and turn it into something better, that when someone sits down at your table and eats it, they can just make that sound, One of our favorite stories is when my mom, I don't know if they just came back from Florida or what, but she didn't have much in the pantry. And so she made spaghetti out of ketchup. What was the other thing? What was the other thing, Mimi? Ketchup and water. There was something else. Anyway, she was able to make it into something that everybody was willing to eat. Right? And so there's, anybody can take, have flour, anybody can have sugar or salt in their pantry, but, you can take it and you can look at this thing called a recipe. And that recipe is what? That recipe is somebody who has gone before you and they've strategized and they've planned and they even worked the plan and they modified it so that you could come behind them and work the plan and make something out of those ingredients. Another example, anybody can cut down a tree, but it takes somebody with the image of God to turn it into lumber. And to turn that lumber into frames, and that frame into a house, and eventually that house will become a home. And that's because of the image of God. I told you about the comedian that we went to see. He did this one bit about this woman. He was at a party, and this one woman said, "Animals are smarter than humans." Remember that part? And so she was saying, like beavers. Beavers can take mud, and they can take sticks, and they can turn it into a dam. And so he said, "Can you imagine if you hired somebody to build a dam for you, and then all of a sudden these human beings came and just started wallowing around in mud and chopping down trees with their teeth and slapping it together, and you'd think that was great?" Yes, animals are smart. They have a certain essence of the wisdom that God has given them, but it takes man to build a Hoover dam. I mean, I'd be real impressed if I walked into the jungle and there was a bunch of gorillas there and they formed chainsaws and built a city and were living with air conditioning and heating. And of course they can create some type of shelter, but they're not putting their apes on the moon. They're not sending rocket ships to Mars and to the sun. This is the image of God. Last example I'll give you of this is relational. Any two people can procreate a human. A man and a woman can create a human being. But it takes a mother and a father to raise respectful, humble, loving children who contribute to society. Is there a greater example of raw material than a little child that God has given you, that you can teach and you can train and that you can love and that you can model and exemplify the different character traits that they're going to emulate? And so the work that God has called us to, you have an opportunity to make things good and to make things better. Think of the parable of the talents. So Jesus tells a story. He says a certain man gave his servants talents of silver, and he gave one 5, he gave one 2, and he gave one 1. He said, and he went away for a while and he came back to see what his servants had done. And the servant who had been given 5 talents, what did he do? He came back and he said, my Lord, he said, you gave me 5 talents and I worked and I turned them into what? 10 talents. He took what the Lord gave him and he made it better. And what did Jesus say to him? Well done. Well done. In other words, do you see the principle there? I gave you a certain amount of raw materials. I gave you a certain amount of ability. I gave you a certain amount of resources. And you took it and you made it better. You made it, it doesn't have to be bigger, but you made it better. And the 5 guy made 10 and the 2 guy made 4. And the 1 guy did what? He buried it. He did nothing with it. He did nothing with the resources God gave him. He didn't work to make it better because he was afraid that he would be yelled at. He was afraid that if he lost, if somehow he ventured out, that he would lose. And so what did the Lord say to him? He said, you wicked and you lazy servant, you could have at least put it in the bank to get me what? Interest. So God, you see this, God gives us these resources so that we can use them to make them more, better, bigger. And we build, and we transform, and we fashion, and we improve, and we increase, and we enlarge, and we grow. And that's what an imager of God does. One of the portions of scripture in the past probably 5 years that really speaks to me is in Ephesians 4:28. In different ways, but it's let him who steals steal no more. Why stealing wrong? I love to ask that question. Why stealing wrong? The ultimate answer for why stealing wrong is because it violates the character and nature of God. God gives. God is a giver. He's not a taker. That's why stealing is wrong. That's why lying's wrong. When your kids were young and they go, why? 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 I know, but why? The answer to every why, at least the way I see it, is because of the character and nature of God. Why is lying wrong? Because God is truth. He's truth. And so the very character and nature of God is truth. Therefore, that's why lying is evil. So why is taking something not good? Why is it not better? Because someone else worked for it. Because someone else took resources that they had and they made it better than what they originally had, or they bartered and traded to get this, and you did nothing, and you're going to take it from them? That's a violation of the image. But anyway, it says, let him who steals steal no more, but let him do what? Let him work. This is why Paul says, if someone doesn't work in your community, they shouldn't eat. Why? Because all they're doing is they're taking. They need to take resources that God has given them. Well, I don't have anything. Yes, you do. You have something. You have time. Anyway, but let rather him work, and working is with his hands what? The thing that is good. It has to be work that helps mankind. And then it goes even further, and the end of that verse says what? So that he may give to those who are in need. So that the image, you're an imager, and that in that image you get to make things better, not only so that you can enjoy them, but so that you can see someone else who's in need, and you can willingly, of your own cheerful heart, make their life better. Work. So this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So your work isn't just your 9-to-5. Your work isn't just the thing that you do when you leave home and go to that place or those places. Work is when you take any raw material in your stewardship at any time of any day and you purposely choose to make it better. So how can you take the raw materials of today and be an imager? How can you make it better? How can you increase life by the raw materials that have been given you? One of the cliches that all of us have heard is that if life gives you lemons, make lemonade. And so you'll wear many hats today as you participate in the image of God. And so I jotted down some of these. Now some of these are actually probably, I'm going to, as I read them through, you're going to really resonate with one or two of them because that's your DNA. That's kind of your sweet spot. That's kind of where you just work well in terms of taking what God has given you and turning it into something better. But these are all different ways that God gives us resources. Here's one of them. Some of you today will play the manager. The manager. This is someone who's an organizer, an administrator. You keep existing systems and forms functioning. That's your joy. I mean, that's what you enjoy. You're not the entrepreneurial trailblazer person that goes out and tries to find new things. Your joy is to take an existing system and keep it running. Keep it flowing nicely. And by doing that, you are sustaining what is good. And there's nothing wrong with that. And then another one would be the dreamer or the entrepreneur. This is a person who lives in the world of ideas. They think outside the box, exploring new and different paradigms. Like, can we put a man on the moon? Can we put a man on Mars? Can you run a 4-minute mile? I don't even know why anyone would be sitting on a lazy boy thinking of that. But nobody thought you could run a 4-minute mile until one person did it. And when Tim did it, everybody else did it. Because these people spur us on to do things that we never thought we could do. What will it take to make a flying car? Did you see it online this past week? That flying car, I can't wait. That is going to be exciting. You think driving's fun now. I mean, think of all the space we'll have, right? You don't have to stay on that, in between the white and yellow line. It's just go anywhere you want. I think they'll make times, different times for different age groups to drive. What time is it? Oh, it's 3. I'm going to stay out of the skies because the early bird starts in, half an hour. And so these people, they dream of flying cars and how can we have free electricity and alternative natural power creation with the sun and the wind and the water and the waste and creating self-sustaining economies and create safe communities. They're dreamers. And so what can you do today to use those resources to make the world a better place? Then there's the dreamer or the implementer. This person doesn't necessarily have new ideas, but they take other ideas and they make them happen. They build that new project. They implement that new idea. They create something that presently doesn't exist by man's hands. They might not have come up with the idea, but then they can take the ball and they can run with it. And they can glorify God by being an imager in that. This next one I've called, and you'll know why. I could have called it anything, but I called it the cruise director. And the cruise director's responsibility is to keep you engaged and celebrating and have a good time. Is that what you're going to do with your resources today? Is just to keep everybody engaged. Why don't you go play with your brother? Keep everyone involved in celebrating. I think we need a little music. The next one, you can glorify God in, is the negotiator. Is that you? Where you're constantly playing the peacemaker? Well, why can't you give a little? Why can't you give a little? Why can't we all just get along? And you make the world a better place because you're always negotiating for other people and helping them get along. Maybe you are the friend today. And all you're going to do with your resources today is love and listen and help. Maybe you're the teacher / communicator where you're helping others learn truth or existing systems or ideas, or you're taking complex things and you're making them easier to understand, and you make them relevant and important to other people's lives. And then there's the janitor. Your cleanup. When everybody else had fun and everybody else is done, come on, ladies, your cleanup. So you clean up everybody else's mess. And so this is work. This is what God has called us to. There's another place you have to consider too. You have to work. Some of us have to work very hard at recreation. Think of that word, recreation. The actual strategy and to use an imagination to participate in something that just gives you life. The stuff that fills your, you've heard of love tank? How about that fills your life tank? Instead of doing something for somebody else, what is something that you can do to purposely bring recreation to yourself? For some of us, it is actually sleep. For some of us, it's eat. I have 4 exclamation points on that one. For some, it's play. For some, it's read a book. For others, it's porch with an iced tea. For some others, it's a glass of wine. For someone else, it's a milkshake. For others, it's silence. For all you gabbers out there, your recreation time might be gabbing. But recognize, some of us like silence. Right? Some people get their life tank filled by conversation, and some of you are conversationalists. Listen to me. Not everyone is a conversationalist. Find another conversationalist. Read the body language. When you tell a 5-minute story and somebody goes, oh, they might not be engaged. Some of us, it's exercise that actually recreates you. Some, it's a vacation. Some, it's a movie. Some, it's sports. But whatever your hand finds to do today, do it as unto the Lord. Because in any way that you are doing an activity that would be good, and good is when you love God and love people, you are actually participating in the image of God. And we can celebrate that together. And so I encourage you. Some of you are going to leave this place, and you may have already started it. You've already started that recipe. The oven's already on. The table's already set. The party's already been planned for. The day already has its schedule. And whatever you did for the benefit of someone else, whatever you did to make someone else's day better, whatever raw materials you took of your own free will today and you recreated them in some way to say to someone else, I love you. You have worshiped God. You have glorified your maker. You have expressed the image. So love God and love people. Let's stand together. I shared with you that this kind of revolutionized my understanding of co-laboring with God. If you don't know the story of Elijah and Elisha, I would encourage you to go read that. It's in 1 Kings 20, following into 2 Kings. But Elijah was Elisha's like mentor, but ultimately he treated him like a son, and Elisha looked at him like a father. And they portray this idea of co-laboring with God so beautifully. And Elisha one day asked for a double portion. And the double portion that he asked for, in our Western mindset, we think of quantity. And you'll hear messages on the double portion and how you can do twice as much. And it's so Westernized and so taken out of context and lost its beauty. But when you go back and you look at the Old Testament, the double portion was for the firstborn son. And the reason he was given a double portion was because the incredible privilege and responsibility of carrying on the family business was his. And so it was his responsibility to take what father built all his life and get a double portion of an inheritance so that he could take it and not only manage it, but make it better. And so we see Elisha doing what Elijah did, but expanding it and giving God more glory. So today you have an opportunity to be a child of God, like Penny said, or you can have an orphan mentality. When we have an orphan mentality or a slave mentality, all we think in terms of is to get things done and to have my needs met. But a son and a daughter of God thinks kingdom. Thinks, what is the Father doing and how can I join him with the resources he's given me today and to make it better? And so, Father, as we have explored your word this morning, our hearts begin to open up to a greater opportunity to serve you in ways that we might not have thought about. And that actually in the simplicity and the mundane of the things that we do every day, that we are actually imaging you. That it's not just something that doesn't matter, that it is something that we are actually doing as an act of worship. And that it matters because we are helping you bring your kingdom to earth. Where, like back in the beginning, you ordered, you structured, you separated. Simply by making it better, we are joining you in this creative process to bring your kingdom to earth. And so I pray with my brothers and my sisters that you would just continue to open our eyes to this reality and that we'll see its relevance and application when we go back to our homes, when we go to our families, when we go into our neighborhoods, when we go to our places of work, when we find ourselves in any area of society, Lord, how can we bring your kingdom to bear by working? We ask this all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.